Following content is provided by MIT OpenCourseWare under a Creative Commons license. Additional information about our license and MIT OpenCourseWare in general is available at ocw.mit.edu.
Start. Okay. My name is Alfino Flores, and I'm here representing the Solar Water Disinfection Team. This is our project. So a little bit of a background to the problem. Some of you have already heard this, so just bear with me. Don't fall asleep. I'm just going to flash these slides. You can read them. This is just an idea, or sort of to give you an idea of the impact of the problems that are faced by people worldwide in terms of acquiring water, how the water gets contaminated. Look at this. You know, sanitation is clearly related to water. It contaminates your water sources, creates diarrhea problems. So how does our device differ from the existing solution? So let me tell you a little bit about our device. Our solution uses UV rays in a plastic bag, not unlike this one right here, to disinfect water and treat it in the sense that the UV rays will inactivate the bacteria in the water that causes diarrhea and other waterborne illnesses. Now, this technology is not new. SODIS, an organization in Switzerland, actually has promoted the use of 2-liter bottles, PET bottles, already in many parts of the world. And this technology is proven to be very effective in disinfecting water. That is not an issue. The problem is that, in this case with the bottle, it's very hard to transport, you know, sort of like this empty volume. Like if you want to transport thousands of empty bottles to a specific place, you can imagine like the huge volume. Whereas if you transport something collapsible like a bag, which can hold the same volume as a 2-liter bottle, you know, you could literally pack thousands of these in a small backpack, and you can send that into different areas. So what our project aims to do is to provide to the most impoverished and at-risk populations across the world with a safe and reliable alternative to treat their water that doesn't require additional input of capital, as is the case with chlorination, where you have to, you know, buy chlorine and use chlorine every time you disinfect water. It doesn't require the input of fuel, as is the case with boiling. Some parts of the world, for example, in Haiti, this is a huge problem with a large percentage of deforestation in the country. Makes fuel a very precious commodity, or very precious resource. And what is very nifty about this bag is that it also doubles as a safe water container. Now, what do I mean by that? There's a huge problem across the world with water where people believe that they have disinfected it. For example, they'll boil a large pot of water, right? But they have nowhere reliable to store it. So what happens to that water? Well, they put that water back into a dirty container, or they dip their hands into the container to drink out of it, or they leave a cup that they put their mouth to. And so this water becomes recontaminated. So I'm just going to walk you through a little bit more of what has been done on the project thus far. But I just wanted to point out sort of on the scale in the market of, you guys sort of saw. So superimposed heat, population density, and poverty. And those are supposed to be the two tropics of Cancer and Capricorn. So you can see that the ideal place to use SODIS would be also the place where you have the greatest number of poor people and the greatest number of larger population densities. And the sad thing about this is that millions, almost 2 million children die annually worldwide, children not unlike these, because of water diseases like diarrhea, which are clearly preventable. So this is our project. So for those of you who are here, you might have heard a little bit. At the midterm, we established these goals. And we have basically branched them out into three sections. I've been told that this actually looks like a little molecule, H2O. That's very nifty, not intended. So we have the hardware component, which obviously relates to the actual design of the bag manufacture. The software, not to be confused with the other two presentations, which actually have software. This refers more to the education material and the surveys and questionnaires. And then the marketing component. So the work that has been done to date in those areas are, we had a design review for the hardware. We are working on creating education materials and questionnaire for getting feedback on usability of the product under our software category. And in under marketing, we entered the 1K competition, and I will talk about these in more detail. So our design review, it was actually quite an interesting feat to try to get a cross-country design review going with a conference call and everything, but something very productive came out of it, and that was we were able to choose what prototype we were going to use, or in this case, narrow it down. This project has been ongoing since the spring, and we literally have 20 different models that we've been playing around with. Obviously, some of them a lot better than others. But what we narrowed it down, or sorry, the way we narrowed it down was identifying key features that would make a bag superior to something else. And what we used was a 2-liter bottle as a comparison. So what came out was we wanted something that could mimic a 2-liter bottle in some way. And what does that mean? Well, it means that you should be able to hold the bag in some way so that it's kind of like holding a solid object, right? Because if you can imagine, you know, I fill this up with water, and if it has no structure, it kind of jumbles around. I don't know if you guys have ever played around with frozen yogurt when you have to move that around. It's not very easy to pour out. So I can talk a little bit about these designs. It's kind of dark. These could be passed around at the end. So this one has a one-way valve. The purpose of the one-way valve is that it creates a wide mouth so that you can pour in from almost any source. I mean, technically, you could go to the source and pour the water in. We have decided that it is better for people to collect water as they do right now, bring it to their household, and then fill this device, which will then go on the roof of their house or somewhere where it will be laid out in the sun. And what's nifty about this, you guys can thank Amy Smith, is, other than it not leaking. As you're emptying the water out, like you can imagine scrunching this back in this fashion so that it looks like a solid, rigid container in this case. And it lays flat, which is a key feature of any bag. The depth of the water when you're using solar disinfection is key. The other device, which was developed by Sean in San Francisco, actually is a bag not unlike this one, except that it has a nifty two-way valve, which allows you to fill, sort of like with a one-way valve, it has a wider opening, but then it also allows you to pour the water out in a more controlled fashion. And what really gives this the edge is that, I mean, you can sort of see how difficult it is to handle. So what he did is, with a little bit of Velcro, now you have a handle, and you can imagine if I open this tab out, I can pour it out very easily. Along with that, we also mapped out some resources. What I mean by that is both division of labor and sort of what materials are going to be needed and what the scale is. The points of concern that we have in the area of hardware is we have to figure out a way to assess our product when we take it out to the field. Right now, it's still in the development stages, so we're trying to get as much feedback as we can from various community users. I will talk more about this procedure in a little bit. So moving on to software, the education materials. So the development of the education material has been based on field-tested material. I was in Zambia this summer, as was Jeanette Flores, another member of our team. And the two of us were able to, well, she was responsible for mapping out the water sources and determining what the water, not water rituals, but the water routines were in this remote village of Zambia. And then we led an education campaign. In that particular community, we were promoting chlorination. But one thing that became clear is that no matter what solution for water treatment you are proposing, there needs to be a baseline of education in terms of what people need to know about water and how to make their water safe. So people need access to the concept of germ theory. People need to be aware of the issue of recontamination. And this is something that, you know, it doesn't matter where in the world you go or what language they speak in the area where you're working or what, again, like I said, what solution you're proposing, this is something that should go in. And so we want to make this an integral part of our promotion of this technology. In addition to that, we are actually trying to tailor it to D-Lab-specific countries. We are working with D-Lab to send several bags over IAP to Ghana, to China, and to Zambia, and also Brazil. And what we want to do is have a survey, a questionnaire, where we ask people to do comparisons between the different bags. But we don't want to confuse people with the bags and just, you know, sort of throw them out there and not really explain. So what we hope to do is present bags in such a way where they're when they're comparing specific features. So for example, we will have two bags. You know, we might have two bags that have this Velcro design, and what we compare is, you know, a one-way valve to a two-way valve or a screw cap. You know, or we have this design where it stands up, and we might compare it to something else that lays flat. You know, so we don't just want to compare the bags in general. We want it to be focused specifically because this provides us with more valuable information on how better to tailor the bag and make it a product that people will actually be willing to use. Okay. So these are some pictures of the water education campaign and Shanat taking water samples there.
Do people generally get that, the education side?
We found that what usually happens is people know that water is a huge concern. They know that it makes them sick. But sometimes there's a gap missing in the logic. For example, people are willing to pay money to go to the clinic or to buy rehydration salts for their children, but they're not willing to pay money for the chlorination. So part of the campaign of this education campaign is also to sort of show that, you know, you don't have to wait until you've gotten sick from bad water to do something about it. You know, you can actually prevent it. And in this case, our technology provides a reliable way of doing that. I'm just going to skim through the 1K competition really quickly. We didn't win anything, but they gave us very valuable feedback on ways on how to pitch the idea and how to convince people that there is indeed a market for this. A lot of people believe that because we're interacting with some of the most impoverished parts of the world, that people, you know, will not be willing to pay for this technology and whatnot. I actually believe that the problem with water disinfection technology in general is that there hasn't been anything that is 100% reliable. And that sort of, you know, if you can't have people's faith and say, look, this is really going to solve your problems, people are not willing to invest in. That sort of goes back to the question that you asked. When you're sick, that's a very concrete example of something being wrong with the water, you know? And so if we can promote an education campaign where we can show that, you know, there's something very good about the water being safe to drink, you know, whether that means using this technology in tandem with water testing to prove that it works, you know, people will be won over. One of the main concerns, though, was the financial feasibility of this venture. Not so much in the manufacturer. I mean, the materials and the manufacture costs for these bags relatively low. Even the models that have injected molded parts are not as expensive as we would want, but we still want to reduce the cost to make this more accessible. Okay, really quickly, just a comparison of three different types of when it says disinfection, I meant solar disinfection. But so these prices are roughly based on what we've seen in the field, but I think it's more important to realize what the costs are. So, for example, with chlorination, the problem is that because you're applying new chlorine every time to each batch of water, that's a continuous expense that you have. Okay, I mean, you can't just buy one bottle and have that last, you know, forever. Eventually, you know, there's a finite amount of chlorine in there. Boiling, the cost of fuel needs to be taken very seriously. And as you see below, it actually interacts with time also because you need to count in the factor of gathering that fuel in addition to the cost of the fuel. You know, people say, well, why don't they just chop a tree down? That takes time. You know, that is something that people will be interested in. Whereas, you know, the cost of the bag Right now we're working, we have 20 to 50 cents roughly. We think we can bring it down and make them much cheaper than that. Again, this depends on what features people want to have, right? Which features are really needed in the bag. And then that way, you know, it might be that we don't even need, you know, a Velcro strap, or that we don't need an injection molded part, and therefore our cuts, our costs are slashed. Very quickly, just looking at the time that this takes, chlorination will take 30 minutes, but it requires monitoring. You actually, in many cases, you have to move the water around, give it a little slosh every 5 minutes. And you have to pour in the right amount. You have to make sure that you do it the right way. Again, with boiling, you have to gather the fuel for it, and then it takes some time to boil the water. Whereas with solar disinfection, you just leave your bag out into the sun. Again, this depends on where you are, and the temperature actually affects it. It'll make the disinfection take place faster. 2 to 4 hours. One day, just to be safe, I mean, especially if you're working outside of the tropics. And then there you can see other factors, which, again, will be resolved and pinpointed later on. So again, just really briefly to state the points of concern. So product assessment in hardware, social acceptability of the bag under education, and financial feasibility under marketing. Our next steps, during the IAP, as I mentioned, we're going to be going to 4 different countries. We have a very strong potential partner in China, more so than the other countries, because they have actually expressed the need for water disinfection devices that can be transported with people, because these people are moving around. They're not sedentary. From that information on the IAP, we will improve the design accordingly, and then we will pause. Stop. Yes. No worries. Let's close that. And then after the design has been improved, again, there will be room for larger scale testing. So, you know, we can send hundreds, if not thousands, of bags into the field once we've narrowed down what is actually user friendly. Very briefly, the resources that are needed. Community partners are essential in the short term, because this way we have a willing community to develop the product with us. You know, we're talking about collaboration here for, you know, almost co-creation. And in the long term, because you need a sustainable connection to the project, you need to be able to see, you know, are there any residual effects, you know, over 5-10 years, what happens with the introduction of a new technology. In terms of funding, in the short term, it's just support for fact-finding missions. So, you know, if we need money to cover expenses for sending people out into the field to be able to, you know, find out what people like about the bags, what people don't like about the bags, et cetera. In the long term, obviously, it's to support the initial costs of dissemination. And I'm not putting any numbers on that, because that's yet to be determined. And finally, that concludes the project in a very big nutshell. But any questions, comments, et cetera? Yes, Kaya. How do you pour? Oh, so the thing with the one-way valve is you actually would need to stick like a tube, like a straw, or like, you know, or a narrow piece of PVC, and then, you know, you could extract the water out that way. Again, that's something, you know, the one-way valve is one of several designs that we have. It's not set in stone that that's what we're going to go with, but. As you mentioned, I mean, there are certain features that require additional pieces, which obviously, you know, increases costs, increases potential for recontamination, and requires additional education. Any other questions, concerns? No. Okay. Thank you.